Before I actually talk about the topic that I titled this year, I just want to actually just start with the Dvar Halacha. It's important to everyone should walk away at least with the Dvar Halacha. That was Halacha L'Maisa, maybe two Dvar Halacha, depends on the time. Dvar Halacha that both came up over Shavuos, and was new to me because of my new home, my new city where I live. It was a little new situation, and so it was a shaila that came up that I wanted to just discuss a little bit. And it was also very interesting because we happened to be learning the relevant sugya, the relevant gemara and halacha of this particular shaila. We were learning in the kollel this week, so I brought up the shaila and we were able to come out a little bit a halacha lemaisa from what we were learning. The shaila was the following. Doesn't seem like a earth-shattering shaila, but the shaila is the following. I have a mango tree in my backyard, and the tree grows very low. I mean, the tree grows high, but some of the mangoes grow low, they lean low. So my son, on the first morning of Yom Tov, was outside playing, and he picked off 7 or 8 mangoes. Picked off a bunch of them, and then he threw them on the floor, and he came in to tell my wife that he had finally picked off the mangoes that he was eyeing for the whole season. So the shaila was, what can we do with those mangoes? Do we have to leave them on the floor? Can we bring them inside? Can we eat them? And if not, can we eat them the following day, the second day of Yom Tov? And the reason this is an interesting shaila is because we're learning in the Kol Be'ah, and this is whole sugya in Be'ah. So the halacha is the following, and the truth is that this applies really if the fruit falls off by itself on Shabbos, and that could be a common thing now in the season, so I just wanted to just clarify the halacha. The halacha is that the Chazal made a gzera. Chazal made a gzera that Peres HaNoishrim, a pre which falls off the tree on Shabbos, is mukta, is also to eat. And the reason for that is because they were afraid that if we would allow you to eat the fruit, you would go pick it off yourself. You see how geshmak it is to get a fresh fruit off the tree, it just fell off, so we're afraid that you would go pick it. If you pick it, it's an issa deraisa to pick it, and therefore Chazal said that you shouldn't benefit at all from a fruit that falls off the tree by itself. And since you can't benefit from it, you're not even allowed to move it, it's mukta, because it has no use. So anything which a fruit or a vegetable that has no use on Shabbos is also to eat. It's not edible. Becomes muktzah, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to bring it into the home either. That's the halacha of Peres HaNoishrim. So in this case, when a child picks it off, it will have the same halacha. That if a child will pick off a fruit from the tree, it will have the same halacha. So therefore, on the first day of Yom Tov, which is when the child picked it off, it will be muktzah, and you have to leave it outside. The shaila is the following. What about the second day of Yom Tov? Could you bring it in on the second day of Yom Tov? And that's based on a Gemara in Be'ah. The Gemara in Be'ah says that if a non-Jew would bring you a present on Yom Tov, on the first day of Yom Tov, and he would bring you a fruit that was picked on Yom Tov, or you have a reason to assume it was picked on Yom Tov, so he would bring you that fruit on Yom Tov, and say, here, you know, it's your holiday today, I want you to enjoy the fruit. So the Gemara says over there, you're not allowed to use it, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And the question is, why not? So the machloikas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says the reason you're not allowed to benefit from it is because it's also lehanos mimalachas Yom Tov. You're not allowed to benefit from a malacha that which happened on Yom Tov, even if a non-Jew did it. But you're not allowed to benefit from a malacha which took place on Yom Tov. And Tosfos says a more practical reason. Tosfos says because we're afraid, similar to the other gzera, we're afraid that if you're allowed to benefit from that which a non-Jew does for you, we're afraid that you would go ask him to do it for you the following. You say, hey, this works. You know, I can get the fruits from the non-Jew. He's doing stuff for me. I'm going to go ask him to do it for me. And therefore, Chazal said it's aser. And the poiskim in Shulchan Aruch say that there's a nafkamina. There's a difference whether the reason is because of Rashi's reason or the reason is Tosfos's reason. And the difference is the following. According to Rashi's reason, that you're not allowed to benefit from a malach which happens on Yom Tov, it will be mutter on the second day. A fruit which a non-Jew picked for you on the first day of Yom Tov will be mutter on the second day of Yom Tov. Why? Because when we have 2 days of Yom Tov, it's really a suffix. It may be the first day of Yom Tov and the second day is already chol, is weekday. Or maybe the first day is Erev Yom Tov and really Yom Tov is the second day. So therefore, by the time the second day comes around, you're not benefiting at all from the Yom Tov, from the malacha which took place on Yom Tov. Why? Because when the non-Jew picked it for you on the first day, so If the first day was Yom Tov, by the time that the second day comes around, you could do it yourself. So if you're not benefiting from the fact that the non-Jew did it for you by eating it on the second day. And if the second day is Yom Tov, then surely you're not benefiting from a malacha which happened on Yom Tov, because he did it on the first day, which really is not Yom Tov. And therefore, either way you look at it, according to Rashi, you'd be allowed to use the fruit on the second day of Yom Tov. However, according to Tosis's reason is that we're afraid that if we allow you use it, you're going to end up asking the non-Jew to do it. So Tosis says, as long as you can't do it, whether it's a suffix or not, it doesn't make a difference. But for 2 days of Yom Tov, you're off limits. Your tree's off limits. You're not allowed to pick off any fruit. Therefore, you would not be allowed to benefit from it for the whole 2 days of Yom Tov. That's what the halacha says. And we hold like Tosis. However, in this case, the poskim say, in this case, that we're not afraid that you're going to ask your child to do it. Again, the case here was that a child picked it off for you, not a non-Jew. If a non-Jew picks it off, we're afraid maybe next time you're going to ask him. But in this case, where it's the child picked it off, we're not afraid that you're going to go ask your child next week, because everyone knows the halacha, you're not allowed to ask a child. You are not allowed to ask a child to do malacha for you. And therefore, we're not afraid that you're going to ask your child to do it. And therefore, on the second day of Yom Tov, even though it was picked on the first day of Yom Tov, on the second day of Yom Tov, both like Rashi and like Tosis, you would be allowed to eat from that fruit. And therefore, that's what we did. We ate the fruit on the second day of Yom Tov, thanks to the members of the Kohel helped me come out, figure out this halacha from the sugi that we were learning. But so that's just... that the Gemara says that Al Yipard Adam El Chaver Mutuch Tvar Halacha. So as we start, you know, talk a little bit some other things, and you know, maybe some people will fall into a sleep, it'll be Nifrad. So this way Al Yipard Adam Mutuch Chaver Mutuch Tvar Halacha, and which we at least learned the Tvar Halacha together. The Parshas HaShavua of last week and this week, Parshas Bamidbar Nosai, Chazal tell us that they are connected with the holiday, with the Chag HaShavuos. It's not a coincidence that Shavuos falls right between Bamidbar and Nosai. And Chazal offer a couple explanations. What is that connection? What is the connection between Parshas Bamidbar and Parshas Nosai with the holiday, with the Chag HaShavuos? And if you look in Gemara Megillah and Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Chazal give certain explanations for that. And there's also an explanation in the Kol HaKol this week, if you want to look there. But I'm going to offer another explanation. I'm thinking maybe we can offer another interpretation, another explanation based on the Medrash. There's a Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. It's brought in the Yalkut Shimaini. The Medrash says the following. B'sho shekiblu Yisrael Satayra, Niskanu umois ha'olam bohen. The nations of the world became jealous of the Jewish people when the Jewish people were offered the Torah. Maroli skariv yoisim min umois. Why are the Jewish people lucky? Why do they get to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than we do? Which seems to actually not be in accordance with the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to the other umois and they didn't take it. But here it seems like the umois ha'olam were jealous of Klai. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Jewish people? Sasam piana Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu quieted them immediately. Amar lahen, he told them, Haviu li sefer yuchsin shelachem. Bring me your sefer yuchsin. Bring me your lineage. Show me your family lineage. Shenemar hovu l'Hashem mishpachos amim. So he says, that he asked the Jewish people, he said, do you have yichus like the Jewish people? The Jewish people, it says here, Mevi'in ve'yisyaldo mishpachoysam, l'kach monam b'reish ha-sefer hazeh. It was, why was he monam at the beginning of the Sefer? Because at the beginning of the Sefer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts each and every family in the Jewish people. And the language of the count, actually, if you notice, the language of the count, they were counted... They were counted lemishpachosam leveis avosam. They were counted by family and by the house of their fathers. And b'mispar shemos. They were counted both individually by their families, by the family of their fathers, and then by the shevet finally. So says the Medrash, the Klal Yisrael has yichus. Klal Yisrael had mishpachos that were counted. And because of those counted mishpachos, that's why they were zoicha to the Torah. So the last words, says the Medrash, in Parshas Vayikra are, Eila mitzvah asher tziva Hashem es Moshe al bnei Yisrael bahar Sinai. That the whole Sefer Vayikra is basically a hemshech to Har Sinai. These are the mitzvahs that the Jewish people received at Har Sinai. V'achar kach v'aydaber Hashem b'midbar Sinai. Se'u esresh kol adas Yisrael shelozochu litol asatora. They were not zoichet to Har Sinai. Elo b'shvil hayuchsin shelahem. Only because of their yichus, of their lineage, of the tahara, of their mishpachos. Because of the family, the Torah of the Mishpachos, that's what the Jewish people had over the Umay Sa'olam. That's what the Medrash says, and that's why they were Zoicha to Torah. So, the connection between Bamidbar Nasai, Bamidbar stops right in the middle of the count, Nasai picks up at the end of the count, and Shavuos is right in between. Shavuos is the Zman of Matan Torah, and according to the Medrash, the whole Zchus of the Matan Torah is based on this, that Klal Yisrael was counted, Klal Yisrael had Mishpachos and Leveis Avoisam, and that was their Zchus in getting the Torah. If you take it one step further, there's a beautiful netziv in the beginning of the parasha, in the beginning of actually parasha's Bamidbar, in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. And he asks a kasha, which I was looking around, it seems like this question is asked by many of the mafarshim. And they ask the mamash a pasha v'shayla. The kasha is like this. If you count, if anyone paid attention at the beginning of last week's parasha, and you take a tally, the total of the Jewish people, that after you totaled all the people between 20 and 60, and the Torah gives you the grand total. What was the grand total? 600,000. What was it exactly? 603,550. Right. So all the mafarshim ask that, let's make a cheshbon. When was this count? What? When was this count? This count was done in the second month of the second year. It means it was done Rosh Chodesh Iyar of the second year. If you look in the beginning of Parshas, in Parshas Kisisa, in Sefer Shmois, there was a count that had been done about 6 months earlier, at least 6 months earlier, Cheshvan. It was done. There was a count, and over there, the count was exactly the same: 603,550. So all the mafarshim ask, how is it possible? How is it possible that there's not one person that died in the interim? There's not one person that turned 20 or that turned 61. How is it possible that the count that was done in the second month of Iyar is exactly the same as the count that was done to the Jewish people 6 months earlier during Cheshvan? This is a question asked by a lot of the mafarshim. So the Netziv, only Netziv could say this, but the Netziv says an amazing pshat. He says, Lav Dafka, maybe in a Hanami, maybe they weren't the same exact amount. Maybe there were more people. There was a lot of people that turned 20 and everything. But he says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the idea of this Se'u, the idea of this whole counting, taking this census, the whole idea of it was that Klal Yisrael was entering the Midbar. Klal Yisrael was entering a midbar. They were entering a place of tremendous danger, and they needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be with them. They needed Hashras HaShechina. They needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be with them to protect them. Now, even though the Gemara says that Echad Sheyoshev Loimed, one person sits and learns by himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him, and 10 people that learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them even more, v'chulu v'chulu, but there's a certain group, a certain number of Klal Yisrael that brings down HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this level, to this world, on a level which is unprecedented by any other. And they needed that level. They needed that level of Ashras HaShechina. So he says that when they saw 6 months earlier that at the total, when Klal Yisrael reached the sum total of 603,550, they saw the level of Shechina that had come down. And they saw this must be the Shlemus of Klal Yisrael. The Shlemus of the Jewish people is when we're at a number of 603,550. With that level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, and he comes down to a level that will protect us. And that's the entirety of Klal Yisrael. So says the Netziv, when he says, for example, if you have a if you have an army or you have a staff or whatever it is, and you're counting people, says you know you need X amount of people to have to, for your staff. So some people may die, some people may move on, retire, quit, move on, do something else. So you'll have X minus 5. So you're going to hire another 5 people. Because you know that that's what you need once we've reached your quota. You have all your staff that you need. Klai Yisrael knew what they needed to go to the Midbar was 603,550. That was the complete number that would bring the complete Hashras HaShechinah to Klai Yisrael. So it says in the Tziv, once they reached that amount, they stopped counting. Once they reached that amount of people at the second count, maybe more people were born, some people had died, but more people were turned 20 or whatever it was. Once they reached 603,550, they stopped counting.
Then why were the different numbers to every shape?
Okay, so I guess, you know, I don't know who was first and who was last, but he says that once that they reached the number that they were looking to reach was 603,000. They weren't coming to take a census. The idea of this count wasn't trying to figure out how many people there are. The idea was, do we have enough people here? Do we have a Klal Yisrael that will support and bring down Hashras HaShechinah into the world? So Zakta Netziv, once they reached that number, they stopped counting. That was what the Netziv says. But you see from the Netziv, Vayter, that the whole idea of this count, which fits very nicely with the Medrash, but the count was, the idea of Parshas Bamidbar was to establish that the Jewish people were complete and they were able to have and be a makom of Hashras HaShechinah. But again, the idea of the count, if you look carefully in the Pesukim, is l'mishpachoisam u'leves avoisam. That they didn't just count the Shvatim, they didn't just count to see how many people there were, they counted the families. The families, each individual family, that was going to create a Klal Yisrael that would be roi for Hashras HaShechinah. The Hashras HaShechinah of Klal Yisrael being able to have amongst them and in them Shechinah, to have Hashem dwell amongst them, needs and starts with the mishpachaisam leves avoisam, with the family, with the home, and with the tahara and the kedusha of the family. This is it's really a gemara in Saita. This is a gemara in Saita. We're learning now in the morning. We started morning koil, and when it started, it's there. But we started new mesechta in the morning koil, Saita, and. And Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Anyone wants a chavrusa can see Rabbi Provalsky. But the Gemara and Daf Gimel Amud Beis says the following. The Gemara says, "Amar b'chizda, b'tchila, koydem shechatu Yisrael, ha'isa shechina shayra im kol echad ve'echad." Before Klal Yisrael sinned, the shechina was with each and every person. Shenemar ki Hashem elokecha mishalach b'kerv machanecha, kivan shechatu nistalka shechina mehem. So the Gemara says that there was a point in time, mitchila keshechatu kaidim shechatu, before Klal Yisrael sinned, the Shechina is shayra in Klal Yisrael. Now, where is that? What are we talking about? A certain time in history that before Klal Yisrael sinned, they had Shechina, and now they no longer have Shechina. What does the Gemara mean? Kaidim shechatu Yisrael, before Klal Yisrael sinned, ha'isa Shechina shayra im kol echad ve'echad. It seems like an amazing thing. There was a time in history that the Shechina was with each and every individual person. But that was Kaidim Shechatu. That was only before they sinned. And now, it says, they lost it, because it says, because they sinned regarding Inyanim of Arayas. That's what it says here. So when was this point in history? It seems like that every single person had Hashras HaShechina. And when did they lose it? Zokta Marsha, he learns up Rashi like this. Zokta Marsha, unbelievable. Zokta Marsha, the words are the Shechina Shoyre B'chol Bayis U'Bayis. It's not talking about a point in history. It's talking about a point in time in each and every individual person's life. It says Shechina Shoyre B'chol Bayis U'Bayis. When a person builds a bayis, a person builds a home, the Shechina comes into that home. He says it's the Shechina that the Gemara says is between Ish v'Isha, that Ish v'Isha both have an Aleph and a Shin, but the extra word letters that they have, the Ish has the Yud, and the Isha has the Hey, creating the Shem Hashem, the Yud Kei, and the Marsha says that's the Shechina, which is Shoyer b'chol bayis u'bayis. Ad, until Sheha'adam misalka mibeisai, until the time that a person chases it away, aydei chet znus, aydei the chet, the avera of znus. V'zeu berkas habayis hanichlal b'chol makom asher azkir es shmi. This is the bracha of b'chol makom asher azkir es shmi, avay alecha berachticha, any place that my name is mentioned, I will give you a bracha. Zokta Marsha, it's talking about the home. It's talking about the home of each and every individual person. So says the Marsha, when the Gemara says, Kodim Shechot Yisrael, Ha'isa Shechina Shoyim Kol Echad Ve'Echad, it doesn't mean a time in history that they were zoichet to this lofty level of Shechina Shoyim Kol Echad Ve'Echad. It means in each and every individual person's life, they're zoichet to this level of Shechina Shoyim Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Every person has this. Unless he gets rid of it. He could chase it away. A person could chase it away out of his home. But his home is a home that the Shechina is Shoyim Kol Echad Ve'Echad. That's the Gemara in Saita, that's what the Marshal says. And he brings a pasuk. He brings a pasuk of pasuk in Dvarim that it says, Ki Hashem elaykecha mishalich bekerev machanecha. Hashem goes in your machane. Hashem goes in your machane. V'hoya machanecha kadosh, and you have to make your machane kadosh. That's the pasuk that Marshal brings. This is a famous letter from the Chafetz Chaim quoting this pasuk also. The Chafetz Chaim was responding to Rabbanim who had come to him from all across Europe complaining about the situation, the terrible tzaras that they were going through. And the Chafetz Chaim wrote back to them this pasuk. He says, well, to save yourself from tzaras, you have to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to have Ashras HaShechina. You have to be protected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have Ashras HaShechina, if you bring the Shechina to your home, then you'll be protected. So said the Chafetz Chaim, Ki Hashem elokecha mishalech bekerev machanecha. Hashem's going with you. If Hashem's going with you, you're protected, you're fine. But it has to be v'haya machanecha kadosh. You have to retain the kedusha of the machane, v'lo yiroa b'cha ervas dovar, and you can't bring and have any avera of in yonim of arayis. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said, which according to the Marsha is really going not just on the machane, on a whole. And a person will say, well, you know, it's not up to me, but says the Marsha, this machane that we're talking about, of Vahaya Machanecha Kadosh, is, as he said again, is Shechina Shoyre B'chol Bayis U'Bayis, Ad Sheha'adam Misalkoi Mibeisoi. So, clearly, the Medrash is telling us that we're Zoyche to the Torah through the Tara of Kla Yisrael's Mishpachos. And we're zoicha to Hashras HaShechina when we have Mishpachosim Leveis Avoisim. We're zoicha to Hashras HaShechina B'chol Bayis U'Bayis Koidim Shechotu, because the pasuk says Ki Hashem Elokecha Mishalech Bekerev Machanecha, and that machane is none other than every person's individual home. So now, if we look around, clearly we also, like that generation of the Chafetz Chaim, we also need bracha. We also need Yeshuas. We also need Shechina. And the makom for that Shechina is in each and every person, each and every home, each and every Yiddish home. So, if you looked at the title of this in the email, the title of the shiur was Nazirus and Shavuos and Tzidi Field. So Shavuos is because we were Zoicha to Torah. Torah to Kedusha. That's what we just talked about. And there was a reference there to Tzidi Field, and I assume that most people understood that reference, but I'll just explain a little bit about what that meant. We're talking about Shechina. We're talking about Shechina in our homes, and we're talking about bringing Kedusha into our homes. About two weeks ago, on May 20th, there was an asifa in Citi Field in the stadium in New York. It was an asifa called by Gedolei Rabbanim from all communities in the country, and they called together whoever can come, whoever can participate, to a tremendous gathering of Yerushalayim, a tremendous gathering of people that were there for one purpose. You know, it said on the sign, it wasn't clear exactly what the purpose was. It said, Kalish Kish Echad Belev Echad. And someone asked me, what's going on exactly? What's this all about? And I said to him, it's about one thing. It's about that there's 40,000 people that are afraid of doing averus. There was a tremendous Yir Shamayim and a tremendous Kiddush Hashem involved that the Mashgiach, Rav Solomon, and other Gedolei Rabbanim called together the Hamoyin Am of Klal Yisrael to come and express a statement, make a statement that the challenges that we face today are very different and very unique, and we've never faced those challenges before. The challenges specifically that they were discussing, the challenges of the internet, the challenges posed to the Kedusha of the Machane Yisrael by the internet, and that was the topic that was being addressed at that particular asifa. How we can be ma'orer the fact, the pachad, the fear, and the challenges that are faced, we face in our community because of the internet. Just the Maimed itself was a I was there. I went with I was with Rabbi Shapiro, and there was other Rabbanim from Miami that were there. And the Kiddush Hashem was a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. You know, you walked around. The police were bored. They didn't know what they were doing there. They said that they never had this many people here. And the New York Times said in the article, they said that they sold more tickets than they had sold for the Mets that entire season. So they said that the police, they couldn't get over it. Someone came back, and he came back to where he was sitting next to me, and he said that he went out, and he said that they didn't understand that they didn't have to pull anyone out for being drunk. They didn't have to break up any fights or anything. And the trend is Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that everyone was there for one purpose. And more than that, was that primarily everyone felt and came and participated because their Rav or their Rosh Shiva or their Manhig had told them that it was important to participate. And the fact that everybody put aside their agenda and they came together to listen to their Gedolei Yisrael and to listen to what the Gedolei Yisrael had to say, that itself is a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And more than that, putting together the entire Tzibur that was there and the entire Tzibur that was listening in from other places, and that everyone was focused on one thing, gives Klal Yisrael tremendous power that no one else can do. No one else can do that. And we from all Dalakan Fasaretz can get together and focus on one thing. All that is a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim, regardless of the actual message or that was sent. The Maimed itself is something that we could really all take a chizik from and be nischazik, that we're part of Klal Yisrael, part of people that can address a problem and come together and feel like a tzibur, that we're in it all together. The actual message itself, maybe for those that participated, maybe it wasn't particularly clear, and maybe at the end we could try to clarify that a little bit. But the premise of the entire asifa was that we must take a precaution to protect ourselves from those particular dangers, protect ourselves and protect our families. And I thought it was appropriate a little bit to discuss that concept in this week's parasha, because Rabbeinu Yoina says that the source for that hanhaga, for someone to take that extra precaution, is in this week's parasha. Because really one could say, you know what, listen, filter, not filter, dangerous. If it comes up, and the question is, should I click or not? Then I'll worry about it. Then I'll call my Rav. Then, you know, is this something I should do or not? But till then, what do I have to worry about? You know, this is not. I'm not in that situation now. What do I have to worry about it now for? You know, I'll worry about it then. So one could really kind of say, well, you know, let's drop the whole thing. When it comes, each person, when he's in that situation, he'll deal with it. Every person has a certain level of Yir Shamayim, every person understands that what they should and shouldn't be doing, and therefore, why should we take any extra precautions? So, to that, Rabbeinu Yoina says that, he said, we find one place in the Torah that the Torah gave us an example. The Torah gave us an example of taking precautions before one gets to that situation. And that example is in this week's parasha. The Rabbeinu Yoina says the following. The Rabbeinu Yoina says, and this is what we said, and this is the reference to Naziris. It says, "Ki toimer b'lvavcha eifay nim." This is in the parak shlisha of Shari Tshuva parak Oispei. It says, "Eifay nimtza b'kosuv ki godra atayra geder." Where do you find the Torah itself made a fence around the Isser? The Torah says, don't be over Isurim, and the Rabbanon came later and said, and made Gedarim. But where do you find that the Torah itself made a Geder, made a fence, a Harchaka, to further ourselves from the Avera? Yeah, where do we find this idea? Says the Ben Yonah, Neshiv Chadavar, Hinei b'mitzvah sanazir. Asher Ikar Nezirusai. Why does he make a nadir? Why does he make a nadir? Why does he become a nazir for? Why did Nazir decide all of a sudden to become a nazir? Says the Gemara in Saita Daf Beis. Another reason to come in Gemara Saita. The Gemara in Saita Daf Beis says because he saw Saita Bikalkula. He saw Saita. He saw a woman who had tragically fallen, betrayed her husband, and then she drinks the water and she, you know, gets blown up. So he sees this. So the Nazir chooses to make a neder that he's not going to drink wine. Now, why did the Nazir do that for? Let him just say, you know what? It's not going to happen to me, but why shouldn't I drink wine? Just because she drank wine, and then she did this avera. So I won't do the avera, but I'll drink the wine. Why do I have to take the precautions? Says the Torah, the Nazir was smart enough not to say that. The Nazir took a precaution. He said, you know what? If this could happen, I'm just going to become a Nazir. And then the Torah goes further, and he says, well, once you become a Nazir, stay away from wine. Stay away from chatzan and ve'adzog. Stay away from the grape, any part of the grape. Just stay away. The Gemara says, when the Gemara says, the Nazir is the example when you tell someone, kamar kamar l'nazir aminan l'kamar kamar l'sikrav, you tell a Nazir, stay away from even the vineyard, not even to walk in. The Nazir is the prime example of that person, of where the Torah shows us that a person taking a precaution against a certain avera that he's afraid of, and he steps away and he says, you know what, I'm not going to even come into this situation, I'm going to stay away, even further away than I need to, because I want to protect myself. Asher ikun zirusai pen yishta. He's afraid he'll drink, v'yishkach, and then he'll forget, and then he'll get carried away with whatever avera he'll get carried away with. So says the Torah, Kol asher yasim gefen ayin, kol ze legeder harchaka mimishta ayin. So the Rabbi Yonah says, this is a geder de araisa. Most gedarm de rabbanon, Zok de Rabbi Yonah, the whole parasha of Nazir is a parasha of a geder mid araisa against znos or whatever the avera is. And that's why you find so much harchakas in Nazir that he can't even drink, he can't even come close to the wine. Because that's the whole idea of Naziris. The Nazir is that person that, And that's also in this week's parasha. That's what we see from the parasha of the Nazir. And more than that, there's another interesting Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of Shaar Shlishi. Rabbeinu Yonah brings a Gemara, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ki toivim doidecha miyayin." What does that mean? "Chaviv in divrei soifrim yoyser miyayin shel Torah." The words of Chazal, the words of Yisur, of the Rabbanon, are more precious, are more sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Yayin, than the sweetness of Torah itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes, loves, enjoys, gets more hana from the Rabbanon than from the Daraisas. From someone keeping Yisurim Derabbanon than from the person keeping the Yisurim Daraisas. So why is that? Zakhtu Ben Yonah, because if a person keeps the Derabbanon, that means he's saying, you know what, I'm not just going to wait till the last minute and not be over the Deraisa. He's afraid of being over the Deraisa, and therefore he stays away, so far away from it. He stays so far away from it that he doesn't even come close to it. The Rabbanon made a siyag, and he's willing to listen to that siyag. He's willing to listen to that fence because he doesn't want to come even to the situation of the Deraisa. That shows a tremendous Yiras Shamayim. It shows that a person cares so much about the possibility of doing an Avera that he'll even stay far away from, he's not going to do the Avera, but he's going to, in advance, before he even thinks about the situation, he's going to stay far away. And that's the Yir Shamayim of Yisur D'Rabbanon, and that's what he says, and that's the Parasha of the Nazir. And there's one more thing, which also brings out this point. It's a kuntres. It's actually interesting because I had this kuntres. I brought this with me to City Field to learn because it was in my pocket. I brought this with me, It's a kunchus about hachzokas ha-Torah. Conscious about the Torah, about supporting Torah. In case I would meet anyone, and bump into any gvir over there, I would have a word to say. But the first half of the sefer is a conscious from Mishal Salanter. So I was reading that, assuming that it was the second half of the sefer. But he says over there, and that's why my bookmark is the ticket to the field. But it says over there, I bumped into a word from Mishal Salanter. Mishal Salanter says. And this is where we saw Salanter himself, the founder of the Muslim movement. And he says that there's not a person out there that could conquer, that their seichel, the rationale, could be so strong that it could conquer their emotions. He says very few people could be in a situation that they're emotionally engaged and attached in the situation, and they could distance themselves from it because of their seichel. This is not what I should be doing, and this is not the right thing. He says the only way to do it is if some people have seichel. Not everyone has seichel either, but some people have seichel. But he says, but even if you have seichel, but if it's going up against the emotions, it's impossible. The only way to do it, he says, is that you have to deal with the seichel detached from the emotions. So he says that you have to predict in your mind every possible situation that you could get yourself into, and figure out how you're going to deal with that situation before you're actually in the situation. Because then your seichel is clear. Then your seichel can make a decision for you. But you can't rely on your seichel once you're in the situation. Once you're in the situation, it says then it's seichel versus your emotions. And then the emotion is going to win. These are Bissal's koyach of understanding people. And he says that it's pashut, that a person can only rely on their seichel and their understanding of a situation before they're in that situation. So he says, for example, let's say you booked a flight to China, and on Chinese Air, they don't necessarily, you weren't sure, you found that before, and you found that they're not going to have kosher food. So if you know beforehand, so you've already decided in your head, well, the food that they're going to serve me is not kosher, I know that. So you've already decided that you're not going to eat. Now, even however hungry you are on the plane, but you've already decided you're not going to eat. But let's say you show up to the plane, they told you they're going to have kosher, now they didn't have kosher, and they come bring you this meal, and they tell you, well, the other four Jewish guys beforehand ate it, and it probably is kosher, there's no real bad ingredients in there. In China, we don't eat meat anyway, and they're going to start giving you all their spiel about why probably this meal you could eat, and it is kosher, and it's triple wrapped, and all these stories. And on top of everything, you're really hungry. Right, so at that point, it's much harder to make that decision that you're not going to eat it. But if you've made that decision before, then the seichel is clear. He says in Mordecha Halacha, he brings the footnote. He brings from a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, a halacha. He says the following. He says that there was a story like this. A lady comes and tells her husband that she thinks the Leil Tefillah is Wednesday night, whatever it is, one night, Wednesday. And then she comes Sunday and she says, you know what, I think actually it's Tuesday. So she's nemanis, she's neman. She has a nemanis to say that it's really Tuesday. But, says the Chasam Sofer, that if she comes on Tuesday and says, you know what, I made a mistake, it's really Tuesday, not Wednesday, he says she's not neman. Because then we're concerned that maybe it's because she has a Yetzer Hara. So the Rabbi Sol Salanter says this is the pshat in the Chasam Sofer. He says that the pshat is because once she's involved in the situation, then the seichel doesn't have the same power that it has sometimes. So a person, now we're not going to get into details and everything because every individual situation is different, every tzibur is different, but a person has to understand for themselves, and that's really what this is bringing to the forefront a little bit, is that a person has to understand from themselves that there's sakanas there, and people hear stories, but everyone says, well, that's because this person, that everyone has an excuse why it's gonna affect them. But the truth is, if the whole tzibur comes together to be able to implement certain specific shmiras on their own, in their own bias, and in their own situation, And even though we're focusing on the bias, but Rav Matisyo spoke to the Rabbanim later, and he said it's obviously not just the bias; it's carrying around. It's the handheld and the mobile stuff also, which is in a way a much bigger sakana. And maybe it's a sakana more of wasting time than other things, but it's also a sakana. And if a person can make shmiras on those things and make shmiras in the house, the idea that we see from here is that no person should assume that come the situation, I trust myself, or I trust my child, or I trust my employee. You know, a person shouldn't. A person has to realize and be vigilant that the true Yir Shamayim is the person that takes the steps in advance, and we should learn from the Nazir. We should learn from the Nazir that we shouldn't wait till we're in the situation of the Saita. We should be Nazir Atzmim Minayayim beforehand. And the suggestion made then is that every home should have a filter on the internet, and it's a shame that the tzibu will get together further and clarify maybe specific details about what the tzibu on a whole should do. But in the meanwhile, every yachid should understand that the shmiras are necessary, and the parasha right after the parasha of the Nazir, the parasha is the parasha of the Birkas Koyanim, and the Birkas Koyanim it says Yivrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Says Rashi, Yivrecha Hashem is going to give you momen, but a lot of people are afraid of momen. So v'yishmerecha, there's a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be shomer us. So if we do what we're supposed to be doing, and we do the proper steps that we need to do to bring in the Kedusha and our machne, then we'll be zoiche, like Klaiso was zoiche in the Midbar, to be that tzibur, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Masha, his Shechina, on that tzibur, and we'll be that the tzibur on a whole, and each bais befrat will be zoiche, that they will be the bais that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sher Shechina. Together, this will be the tzibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sher the Shechina, and we'll be zoiche, if we do our ishtadlus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his ishtadlus on our behalf, and we'll be zoiche to the brachas in the parasha, Yivrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Thank you.